Okay, so God has done so many things today, but he's not done. I really feel like we're on the verge of something. And so what I want you to do is I want you to declare something with me. Lord Jesus, we declare freedom, we declare faith, and we declare fullness in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes it feels like, oh, I'm messing up. No. You see, the devil wants to discourage you. He would like you just to sit back and do nothing and be complacent. But I want you to think about, what are you eating? Now, Ed and I are not known for cooking. However, we're learning. YouTube is a wonderful place to learn. So we bought a new set of pots and pans, and we cooked yesterday, very healthy. So what I am today is I am grilled chicken, broccoli, cauliflower, zucchini, squash, red pepper. Because they say you are what you eat. I want you to think about what you've eaten this past week. Some of you need, okay, God, please forgive me, right? And that happens in the natural. What you eat really is who you are. If you eat sweets all the time, you're probably going to become diabetic. If you don't eat, you're going to become anorexic and weak and malnourished. The same thing happens in the spiritual realm. What are you feeding on in the spirit? Because it will have a direct proportion to where you are in your spiritual life. If you're feeding on good God-centered things, you're going to have good God-centered stability in your life. If you're feeding on junk, it's going to affect you spiritually. Father, right now I thank you for speaking to us today. Lord, I just pray that you direct me of what to say and what not to say. I totally abandon to your will today. It's all whatever you want to do. And Father, we just go where you want us to go in Jesus' name. Amen. I've talked a little bit in the past about eagles. And do you know the Bible talks about eagles as Christians? Over 30 times in the Bible, it talks about an eagle as a metaphor for Christians. I love metaphors. Do you like metaphors? I thought you would because you're like me. I like metaphors. And that speaks to me. Pictures speak to me. I can wrap my hands in my mind around a picture a lot more than just words. And I see the eagle, and when you've actually seen them, they're such beautiful creatures. We were with Pastor Sherry and Aiden at their house, and they had an eagle's nest right outside of, they had a balcony, and we looked out the window, and there's an eagle's nest right outside there. And every day you could see the eagle parents feeding the young. It's the same thing when it comes to the Christians. We're eagles. And the eagle parent takes care of the young. And, of course, God is our parent. But do you know you have a responsibility as a parent to younger Christians in this church? Some of you have been here, we've been here 15 years, and some of you have been here almost as long as us in this church. But in the Christian realm, you've grown up in it. Yet you're still acting like the juvenile eagle instead of a parent eagle. And God is saying, you know what? It is time to become a parent and not always a child. It's all about what you're feeding on. In Luke 17:37, it says, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. So where there's death, what gathers there? Do you know how close a vulture looks to an eagle? From a distance, they look almost identical. As a matter of fact, two of our best friends who are the pastors of the Gathering Place New Orleans, when for her birthday, because Pastor Yolande loves eagles, Lee decided to take her in Austin to an area that had eagles. And so she said they're all bundled up, and they go out to look at the eagles, and they're taking pictures because they see them in a distance, and they realize it's vultures. All their pictures were all vultures. You see, sometimes it's so hard to tell the difference, but an eagle always feeds on living things, never on dead things, unless they're sick. A vulture never feeds on living things, only on dead things. As a matter of fact, if you see roadkill, that's what vultures love. They love the kill of someone else. They love the leftovers of someone else. They love someone who's been hit or wounded on the side of the road and dead because that's where they're going to feast. I'll say that again. They love those who have been wounded on the side of the road because that's where they're going to feast. They talk about how they even become so intoxicated when they eat the dead carcasses because it's fermenting, that they sometimes they're just drunk as they're flying around. In our life, how many of us are flying around drunk because we're feeding on death? You see, God has a plan for you as an eagle. And he wants you to be soaring like an eagle and go above the storms and to raise young and to have, you know, every eagle has its own gorge. There is a physical property in their eyes that actually, when they're born, by the time they get to be two, it kind of hardens so that it serves almost as a compass and keeps them in their gorge, in their realm, so that when they fly away from that area, they have pain, so that it directs them back to their area. That way they don't get lost. The Holy Spirit does that for you. But some of us, we work through that pain. Oh, I shouldn't say that, but I'm going to. Oh, I shouldn't do that. I've already felt that. I might as well do it. And we begin to feed on the dead things instead of the live things. And all of a sudden, you're not an eagle. You're a vulture. Offense is one of the things that will capture you in the body of Christ, in the church, in your relationships with your partner, at work, or just in family. Offense is a dead thing. And some of us feed on offense more than we feed on the life and the lively things of God. How many of you this week have heard from someone that called you just to tell you about the blessings of God in your life? Anybody? I have. How many of you have heard from people that have called you about offenses they have with other people? We're feeding on dead things. Even if it's not you, if you're listening to it, you're feeding. Do you understand? It may not be you doing it, but if you're receiving it, then you're still drinking that poison over and over again. Offense in Scripture comes from the Greek word, which means bait. He baits you. The devil baits us with offense. Now, bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And every time you do that, you're drinking poison because it's getting down into your spirit. And the more offense that takes place, the more that you get angry, the more and more death you're feeding on. And you're wondering, God, why don't I sense your presence? Why aren't you doing anything in my life? Why are you not hearing my prayers? Why do I not, I don't understand what you're saying to me? Because we're feeding on death, not life. The answer for offense is to forgive quickly. The quicker you forgive, the less it goes down and becomes part of you. Some of you are holding on to offense for years. As a matter of fact, families, and Ed and I talk about this because I hope your mom never listens, my mother-in-law never listens to this message, but all the sisters are always mad at each other. And some of them don't even realize why they're mad. They forget. They just remember that they were mad. And they can't even go back to what caused it. That's just feeding on death. Is this ringing a bell with anybody? Do you see this happening? And it's the enemy coming in to bait you in offense. Really, the answer is to forgive quickly, and two, to put on the armor of God. You see, it's not easy. Ephesians 6 is a supernatural robe. I love what you wore today for dance. But she was in an outfit, in a garment, and I call it really almost like a war outfit, because the dance can be warring. It really can in the spirit realm. But she was dressed for what she was going to do, and that was to dance and make war in the heavenlies, is what she was doing in the spirit realm. Well, there's certain things in Ephesians 6 that talks about the helmet of peace. When Paul says the different, he was looking at a Roman soldier and he described the war. So it's the helmet of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, the truth for the belt, but it gets down to the shoes, the gospel of peace. We might be in everything else. We have that sword. We can use the sword. In Jesus' name, you can't be gay. You know, in Jesus' name, you can't cut your hair. You can't smoke. You can't be divorced. That's religion. That's not God. And they're using a sword to cut. It's not to cut people. The sword is to come against the enemy. So you have to be dressed in the right armor of God. And the peace is what we walk in. God can clothe our feet in peace. Say, Lord Jesus, clothe my feet in peace. Let me walk in peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. You see, that is not just thinking about it. It's actually saying, I mean, sometimes I have to physically do this. Lord, I am putting on those shoes of peace today because I don't feel so peaceful. I'm having conflict in my life. Right now, I choose to put on the shoes of peace. And it's amazing when you do that, because when that person contacts you, all of a sudden you have the most grace and love. You don't have that. That stuff is not there because you're walking in peace. It's a spiritual thing. Oh, gossip is another thing we can feed on. Now, that would never happen here, but there are some churches where this does take place. I've heard this takes place. And instead of talking about them, why not pray for them? This is just a for instance. Do you know that so-and-so broke up? Oh, really? Oh, how'd that happen? There's something in our carnal nature that loves that death. Instead of saying, oh, wow, let's pray through it right now. Oh, wouldn't that just stop things in Jesus' name? You see, it's all about becoming aware of the bait and the traps that the enemy wants to get us in. What if someone starts to gossip to you about someone? What do? Shut up in Jesus' name. That's what I said. You grab their hands and say, let's pray through them right now. God can change them. Now, what you want to say is, let me pray right now that you'll stop gossiping. But to not have offense, why not pray? Do you see, understand what I'm saying? The same energy is used to do one thing or the other. It takes just as much energy, sometimes more, to eat death than it does to eat life. I think of the children of Israel and think, how could they be the way they were? I mean, God led them out of Egypt, parted the Red Sea for them. I mean, he did all of these things, yet they were like, we miss garlic. And they weren't even Italian. I mean, they were Jews. We miss the garlic and onions of Egypt. Yeah, I know. And every day God provided manna from heaven every day. Now, they tried to take it and put it in little jars and put it up on the cupboard so that they could have tomorrow, but it would always be full of maggots because God said, no, you need to trust me every day for your provision. That's what it's like. That's the relationship with God. Today is today. Tomorrow is tomorrow. And he's not going to give you grace for tomorrow. Some of you try to live your life for tomorrow. He will not let you do that. He will only give you grace for today. And tomorrow, there are new blessings and new grace for tomorrow. And that's how we walk, faith by faith by faith, every day. Ungodly relationships are another thing of death that we feed on. It's interesting because I met with someone for lunch. I met with several people for lunch last week, and I had a great time with Raymond. That was a wonderful time because I don't know about some of you, and if you don't feel like God's doing a lot of things in your life, in the church, let me tell you, God's doing some things in certain people's lives, and I love it. And Raymond's like, I'm in a place I've never been before, and God's just showing me things, and God's showing me pictures. Did you paint? Are you going to paint? Eventually. He's been painting on the pictures. Ryan gave him some paper. I love that because he's hungry for God. He wants more of God. He needs more of God. He wants more of Jesus. Oh, I love that hunger. I love that passion. Some of you think, I don't have that, but you did. But you started feeding on death. And as you do that more and more and more, all of a sudden, you don't have that fire. You don't have that passion because the death has now taken place of the life. Is this getting through? I wish I could just open up my spirit and just pour what the Lord is showing me, because you are at a place where God is saying it's time to stop feeding where you've been feeding. It's time to stop feasting where you've been feasting, because I have more for you. I have an abundantly more than you can even imagine bucket that I want to give to you of my blessings. Yet you choose to feed on death. God said, I have come to give you life and life abundantly. It's a wonderful thing. Soul ties. And Pastor Gina has, that's one of the best messages I've ever seen on soul ties, where you have the yarn gone all over the place. And you just become entangled in these relationships. And some of you have past relationships, and it affects you here at church because that person is still here. That is a very human relationship, and it's a very hard thing to do. And my heart goes out to you because I know how difficult that is. And those of you who have worked through that, because some of you are here, kudos to you. Because you have done that, and you've been able to serve in the same church with an ex, and that's a testimony for God. You see, you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about God and about His kingdom. That's what it is. If I could rename this message, be kingdom-minded church. Are you thinking about you, or are you thinking about God's kingdom? Is it all about you and your needs, or is it about everybody else that God wants you to touch and minister to? You may be a home group because there's somebody there that needs what you say that night. Yet people will get upset. Well, there's a clique. You know why there's a clique? I'll tell you why there's a clique in the church. I'll tell you why there's people say there's cliques in the church. Because they don't just come Sundays. Well, I see them on Facebook. Yeah, you know why? Because they have home group together every week. They go to jam session when jam session was going on. They go to jam session every week. They come to prayer meeting in the morning. They go to Sunday school. They don't just come to a church service where you have the opportunity to interact. Yet there's a clique. No, there is fellowship. Praise God for that. Because we need that in our life. But you get offended. But then join the home group. I had someone say, you know, I feel like church is very cliquey. I said, the only time I ever see you is on Sunday morning, and I'm sure you feel that. I said it very nicely. The only time you ever come to church is Sunday morning. And you know what? As much as you probably would love to talk, we don't like you to talk when we're preaching. So you don't have an opportunity to really connect with people. So choose one thing that we have at least besides Sundays and do that and connect. And I'm telling you, you'll feel more part of things that are going on. Amen? This one, it's kind of like if you wanted to eat vegetables. You know they have the vegetable pasta now? It's still pasta, right? It's healthier. But it's disguised as pasta. That's what I eat. It's still pasta. But this is the one that's disguised as life when it's really not that good for you. God is not a religious God. Do you know He hates religion? Religion, and I'm not just talking about Buddhism, Islam. I'm talking about Christianity from Catholic through Pentecostal. Let me tell you, those of us who are Pentecostal are just as religious as the Catholics. Sometimes more, because we know a little more about the Bible. You know, I was talking to Dino this morning about his grandmother, and he was sure he was Catholic, and when he would do something bad, that he would have to kneel at the altar and do so many Hail Marys and so many Our Fathers. So my family is Catholic, so I completely know what you're talking about. God is not about how many times you pray a prayer. Do you know that? It's the opposite. He's a God of freedom, not a God of rules. Say this, God, thank you that you're not a God of rules. You see, a God of rules would not give His only Son to come and die for you. He would say, you have to mark up, you have to do these things, you have to meet the test. There was the test at that time, and there were a lot of rules. Thank God I don't live in the Old Testament, because I probably would not be here if I'd be serving the Lord, because it was so difficult. But on the cross, He ripped the veil down that separated that one person who can go to His presence. You know, they had the high priest every year, once a year, would go into the presence of God, into His presence in the Holy of Holies, and make atonement for everyone else's sins. One man, once a year, that was our shot to be clean with God. If that man had messed up, we were not able to be clean. Think about it. Your salvation was dependent on someone else. They would even tie bells on his robe and tie a string on his leg, because if he had not followed every law, he would be struck dead and they would have to pull him out of the glory of God and the Holy of Holies, because he had not done everything he was supposed to do. That was the law. But then, on the cross, Jesus said three words that transformed eternity. It is finished. And with those three words, there was an earth-shaking, shattering, Holy Ghost quaking that took place and ripped that veil from top to bottom, symbolizing God ripped that veil, saying, now everyone can come in to my presence because of the cross. You see, that is the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's feeding on life. When it comes to life, there are four things that we really need to feed on. One is the bread of life. Amen. That's the word. develop a habit just to get into the Word. Oh, already, it's a turn off. You know what you can do? Some of you don't like to read, and I understand that. But there are so many apps. Do you know you can actually go to some apps on your phone that, as you're in Atlanta traffic, instead of cursing the driver next to you, just listen to the Word of God. You can put it on play, and it will actually read the Word of God to you. That's pretty awesome. Lord, today I just want to hear from the book of Jeremiah. And you select the book, and then that month go through that book. You know, the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters, one for every day of the month. That's a great one. So today's the first. So start on Proverbs 1 and go through the book of Proverbs this month. That would be awesome because that is a book of wisdom. And man, do we need wisdom in our life? And God says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but wisdom comes from the word of God as well. As you read, God will give you that wisdom. That's the one thing you can feed on, the word. The other thing is worship. And boy, today you led us there. You did. I mean, you were right there. Did you feel it? And I know it really happened in prayer that morning that you led. Pastor Jonathan's here every morning at 9 on Sundays to start us in prayer. And it started there. And it's so much easier. I can tell us the difference when I preach when there's prayer in the morning. And then you led us in the worship. So worship and the word. And then the final thing is communion. We're going to take communion today. Some of you might know it as the Eucharist if you're Catholic. Some may know it as the Lord's Supper if you're Baptist. Or communion, but it's the same thing, and it really is representing what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now let me just say this before we go on. If I'm ever sick, and you want to pray for me, if you're praying like this, it's nice. Lord Jesus, I pray that you heal Pastor Keith. If it's your will, I pray that you heal Pastor Keith. I pray that, Lord, you comfort him. I pray that, Lord, if it's your will, that he becomes whole in Jesus' name. If you're like her and her, Lord Jesus, I know that you died for him, and by your stripes he is healed, and we declare healing over his body. That's what I want. You hear the difference? You see, God is challenging us. Do you believe his word or not? You see, his Bible is full of promises, and unlike us, he keeps them. We're used to people who make promises, and then a week later, they don't follow through. God follows through on his promises. So if his word says it, I'm going to believe it. And by faith, I'm going to apply that to my life. Otherwise, it's just a game of chance. No, I walk in healing. I walk in wholeness. I walk in clarity. I walk in peace. I walk in righteousness because he says so. All of it is paid for because of what he did on the cross. You see, his body was broken for us on the cross. And then the blood. We use grape juice in the church. There's nothing wrong with wine. Jesus drank the wine, but it was a symbol of his blood. You see, this is really a symbol of what he did on the cross to pay for everything. In the Old Testament, they had an Ark of the Covenant that sat in the Holy of Holies, and there was something on the top of it called the mercy seat. Now, you have to understand the Ark of the Covenant. They had this furniture that stayed in the tabernacle, and it represented different things. The Ark of the Covenant contained the biggest sins of the people of Israel. The Ten Commandments that were broken because Moses broke them. They broke them. They were there. Aaron's bud and the manna. All of the mistakes that they made were inside that Ark of the Covenant. How would you like us to put a booth in the back of all your biggest sins that you've done and celebrate in the back all your sins? They weren't doing it because they were celebrating their sins. They were doing it because on top of that was the mercy seat where all the blood of every sacrifice would be poured and cover their sins. It had to be done over and over again. The mercy seat is where the blood was applied. But on the cross, the mercy seat takes place in our heart. You see, his blood covers us. Anything that you have done is covered by the blood. And we're going to go in communion. It's about our relationship with God. It's also about our relationship with others. You may have ought against someone in church. What a great day to rectify that. Instead of feeding on death, feed on life. Amen? See, because of the cross, we now have access to have communion and celebrate who Jesus Christ really is. It's as easy as ABC. One, you admit that you need a Savior. Two, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And C, you confess him as Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray now, and they're going to serve communion. Father, I thank you that your blood covers every sin, every imperfection, every failure, every shortcoming. It covers it all because the mercy seat of our life is covered by your blood. Your body took the beating for every broken area of my life, and he's restored so many areas, and there's more that's coming. Healing was purchased for by the body and the piercing on your back. That's why the bread was scarred, because it shows the stripes on his back. Your healing physically, spiritually, and emotionally was paid for by the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And Father, we receive today the elements in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The pastors and elders will serve you your communion, and then we'll take it together when everyone has it. You can go serve now.